Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
And Chris, you said on Friday that Tennessee would probably have to play its best game to beat Kentucky. And man, they're sitting there up 24-0. I was like, wow. I did not see that coming. I thought they might win, but man, that was impressive.
Yeah, and it was their best game. And Jeremy said that, their most complete game. And yep. you saw big plays in special teams. Defensively, it's as well as Tennessee's played, certainly under Jeremy Pruitt, in a long time. And they made some big plays on offense and ran the football at times. So that's what I felt like it would take to beat Kentucky. And I knew Kentucky's certainly a much improved team, but I thought Tennessee could win. I didn't think they'd beat them up like that physically. Kentucky hasn't been as good the last few weeks. You know, they had a big win a couple weeks ago on the road against Missouri. But, you know, you look at the East, you guys tell me, can you figure out, other than Georgia, from week to week, it's a crapshoot.
Anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, it really is. It's the weirdest year in that division that I can ever remember. Again, you got Georgia and then everybody else. But after you take Georgia out of the equation, it's a week-to-week proposition.
How impressed are you with Jarrett Garantano? His ability to take the abuse that he has taken this year with that turnstile offensive line, and to keep putting his team in its best position possible, at least from his job description, and to have the longest streak in Tennessee history in terms of throwing passes without an interception is pretty phenomenal.
Well, two things. I remember the first time that I met with Jeremy was back during the first signing day. He let me come over and spend the whole day with him. And I remember asking him then about Jarrett Garantano. And, you know, keep in mind, he had not coached him at that point. And he said, I can tell you one thing about Jarrett Garantano. He said, when I was at Alabama last year, we hit him and hit him and hit him, and he kept getting back up. He says, he is one tough kid. I think we know that by now. The second thing, you know, when you look at Garantano and what he's done, if you said, what is the number one thing with this team and this offense that he had to do this year, it was take care of the football. And he's done that. Going back to your point about the streak of not throwing interceptions. So he's been exactly what they needed him to do. And it's a reminder that complementary football, especially in a transition year when you're a new coach and you don't have all your players and you're trying to get everybody to buy in, you've got to be able to play complementary football. And what Jarrett's done and the way he's protected the football and made big plays when they've asked him to do that has fit, you know, has been the epitome of that, really.
Are you at like a singer-songwriter event
say,
or an
where
elevator?
Are you?
Well, I'm watching a little TV in the background.
Oh,
hey, at least Jasper Lowe hasn't made an appearance today. Jasper Lowe makes a lot of appearances on my radio shows, but he hasn't today.
At C Lowe ESPN on Twitter, talking college football with Chris, as we do every Monday and Friday.
Chris, the Bobby Petrino has ended in an ugly fashion in Louisville.
You know, my colleague at ESPN, Ryan McGee, probably said it best about Bobby earlier today. He said, some coaches just sort of have expiration dates. Bobby Petrino is one of those coaches. And I don't really mean that mean-spirited, but you look at his last couple gigs. I mean, you go back to Arkansas, and people forget, in 2011, he had Arkansas number three in the BCS standings in the last week of the regular season. They went to play LSU that Friday after Thanksgiving. They were number three. So he certainly got that program to the kind of heights they haven't been in a while. And a few years ago, he's got the Heisman Trophy winner, Lamar Jackson. They're nationally relevant. But at both places, it ended badly and really sort of unraveled. And go read Andrea Adelson's piece on ESPN.com about the sort of the timeline of how it's unraveled there at Louisville. So, yeah, I don't think a lot of people – whether you really like Bobby or don't like him, would say he's not a good offensive football coach who can call plays. But he just has seemed to, at different places, wear out his welcome, and it has not ended very well. And I think that's what's happened here at Louisville. It was very obvious in watching them play the last several weeks that everybody on that team had checked out. And the AD there had seen that as well and said, you know what, and he's not my guy going forward next year. Why wait around to make a move? Let's just make a move right now.
Who's going to be next?
Yeah, Jeff Brohm. Well, we all know. Is it already ringing?
Yeah, we already know who's number one on that list. It's Jeff Brohm's job if he wants it. And you know, I think there's a lot of people that assume that somebody asked him today, was it his dream job? And he said no. But, you know.
Wow. How can you take it after saying that?
Yeah. But it is his school, okay? That's where he played. It's his school. And, you know, that's one of those. I'm in the media, and I've had to ask those questions, but I always just sort of felt for coaches when they get in those positions. I mean, there's no easy way to answer those kind of questions. He's the coach at Purdue now. He's got the rest of the season to play. And if he says, well, yeah, it's my dream job, well, what are his kids at Purdue going to think the rest of the year? You know, and it's like Ed Ogeron a few years or last year. You know, he was talking about they were getting ready to play Ole Miss, and he says, you know, it was tough when I was there, and you know, because I was there always wanting to be here at LSU, where all the Ole Miss fans got mad. Well, he was just being honest. So you're sort of darned if you do, darned if you don't when you're asked those types of questions. But no, he's the guy if he wants the job, and I'm sure Louisville's going to do everything they possibly can to get him. Some people may ask, and it's a fair question, what's a better job? If you're looking at 1,000 feet away, is Purdue a better job or is Louisville a better job? But I think when you're looking at it from Jeff Brohm's perspective, again, the caveat there is it's his school. And I think that's probably ultimately going to be why he does go to be the head football coach at Louisville.
Mm. Man, this Zach Smith stuff, he forgot to snap on Twitter, went all in on Tom Herman, Texas coach. How distracting can that be for Tom Herman? And now Smith's ex-wife, Courtney, defends Herman. It's just an amazing thing.
Well, you know, to me, this is why it's a reminder of, and listen, social media, there's so many good things about social media. If you really want to know what is really redeeming about social media, go read Inky Johnson's posts every day on social media.
Yep, I've already done that.
He is the best, and I look for his stuff every morning when I get up. But there's the flip side of that. And if you want to know what's really ugly about social media, go read some of that stuff last night. And I, to be honest with you, I try to push away from it. But no, it's ugly and it's sad. I'm sad for everybody that has been caught up in this that hasn't really had anything to do with it. For instance, the kids, you know, the Smith kids. I mean, think about being them right now. Other people that are just sort of innocent collateral damage. I'm sure Tom Herman, if you're Tom Herman right now, you're thinking, boy, this is the last thing I want, you know, you want to see happen and you want to hear. But you also got a football team to coach. And if you let this become a distraction and you let him get in your head and you let some of this stuff be an issue, then you're going to let him win. And I'm sure that's what Herman's thinking right now.
Northwestern beat Iowa. They have won their division, and they are the first Power 5 team to lose all of its non-conference games and win their division. What a story.
There's a couple different ways to look at that. First of all, I mean, it's not – I don't know that it says a lot for the Big Ten on that side of the division. Number two, what does it say about – does the non-conference schedule really count? And it's not, Brent, it's not the fact that they've not won a non-conference game. Go look at who they've lost to in the non-conference. It's not like they're getting beat by Alabama and you know, Washington and big-time teams. I mean, they've lost to some teams that you scratch your head and say, how do they do that? But that said, Pat Fitzgerald has really done a terrific job there. And if you go back and look at their record in the Big Ten, going back to, I think, the first to last year in conference games, they're as good as anybody. You know, they have really, really been good, and they've stepped it up. And I think they'll continue to step it up with the kind of kid they're going to be able to attract to that program when you go look at that Taj Mahal of a practice facility they built on the lakefront. So really like Pat Fitzgerald, like what he stands for, like the fact that he's had chances to go elsewhere. And much like we were talking about Jeff Brohm a minute ago, that's his school. Northwestern is his school.
Yep.
And he has, at every turn, and his phone has rung, it has rung several times, and he says, nope, staying here. I think he may be the one true lifer in college football, and you don't see many of those anymore.
We actually got to hang out with him at the Music City Bowl last year, and it was just awesome to see him around his kids and just talk to
him. Oh, he's great. He's as real as they get, and people forget, and you're old like me. Now, not Dawn. Dawn's not as old as we are.
Oh,
and Brent's, all but, Brent's almost as old, but those of us, those old guys like us, can remember when Pat was one heck of a football player, too, there. You talk about a guy that knew how to play linebacker. He was a terrific player.
Hey, real quick on the way out, have you ever seen an AD get ejected?
Now, I have seen some media members in press boxes. I was at Clemson a few years ago in the great Tim Beret press box, but I have not seen an AD get ejected.
Side judge got him, escorted him out. But, I mean, Texas was in the midst of blowing a 34-17.
Well, remember along those lines, remember a few years ago when Bruce Pearl was at Tennessee and he got thrown out of a high school game? Remember that?
Yes. It was in Chattanooga.
The one was in Knoxville when his son was playing and he got tossed for maybe getting a little too excited or too animated during the game.
Oh, man. Chris, appreciate you, man. We'll have a lot to talk about on Friday.
Look forward to it.